All right. So if you are feeling stuck, confused, lost, frustrated, you're lacking clarity, confidence, direction, you're procrastinating, you're overthinking and overanalyzing everything, and you wish you could just have clarity to move forward and take action, but there's an invisible brick wall that's just got you stuck and you're not moving. Well, I know how you feel, because over the last couple years, I have felt the exact same way. And you're talking to a guy who's done a lot of this in his career, and that's massive imperfect action. And that massive imperfect action led me to working with people like Tim Ferriss and Richard Branson. I've been to his private island 4 times. Lewis Howes, Brenda Bouchard, been on the Good Life Project podcast after Simon Sinek, worked with best-selling author of Buy Back Your Time, Dan Martell. And I've even gotten to work with freaking Tony Robbins. And we filmed his Date with Destiny. This was one of my favorite films that we ever made. And it was an incredible journey. It has been an incredible journey. And I've gotten to travel all over the world and work with some amazing people. I've shot over 300 plus weddings. But in the last few years, like a lot of us, I got stuck. I got confused. I got lost. I was doing a lot of what I call MOA, which was massively overthinking all my actions. And it just felt like no matter how much I knew, that I just couldn't push through. Because what had happened is what I call stove moments. So many things had stacked, traumas, challenges. I had taken so much imperfect action. I knew so much that my brain was saying, you shouldn't do that again, right? And it just had me stuck. And finally, in the last 60 days, I have gotten out of that paralysis by analysis cycle, that overthinking cycle, and I'm taking MIA again. And one of those amazing things, I set the intention this year, and I said, this is the year of MIA again. And one of the things we did, or I did, to help my grandpa publish his book, and 40 plus years of rejection, and we were able to get it to him in his hands by his 40th birthday. An absolutely, I just speechless, absolutely incredible. Got to present it with my whole family, and knocked it out in like 2 days with my buddy Steve Sisler, and it was magical. I had my biggest coaching month I've had in the last 2 years, and I feel amazing. And I'm working with some people right now and helping them figure out, like getting them that clarity, that confidence, that direction, getting them taking action again. These are people who are driven, who are successful, who have lost their mojo. And so if you're feeling that, then this is the call. I've got 15 tips to help you get unstuck and taking action and building a life and business and career that you do not need to retire from. And so there is a document in the description here as well that you can check out, but this is going to be the expanded version of what is in there. And for those of you who don't like to read, this is where you'll want to listen. This is where you'll want to watch. So let's dig in. Rock and roll. Here we go. So first and foremost, number one, tip number one, prioritize fun, freedom, and flexibility. I said, filter all your decisions and actions through these lenses to ensure that you're building a life and business you don't want to retire from. By keeping them at the forefront, you're creating and maintaining motivation and enjoy your work more, leading to increased productivity and satisfaction. So what I found is that, like, even creating these videos, I know that I want to inspire, I want to encourage, I want to motivate, I want to be the change that I want to see in the world. And I've created so much content in the past, but I had stopped and started and stopped and started and stopped and started. So how was I going to be and do different this time to move forward and make progress and not quit and not stop? Now, that does not mean, which you'll see here, that I can't not do it for a day, right? I want you to develop a mindset that goes from rigid thinking, black and white thinking, this or that, either or, to flexible thinking. It is a powerful shift in perspective, shift in the way that you think, shift in the way that you be, shift in the way that you do, is to be more flexible and less rigid. So there's a lot of people out there with steps and templates and frameworks and systems. And the problem is depending on how you're wired and depending on what's happened, we can take these things very literally. And taking it literally is the same as acting as though glasses are one size fits all. They're not. We all have different prescriptions. I always say, it's not about one size fits all. It's about what size fits you. And so for me, I know that the more rules and rigidity that I put on life, on business, on creation, right, then the less action I take, because it's so limiting And so when I look at, hey, little daddy's a daddy home, daddy won't, I don't know, that's a song my dad used to sing, right? Hey, Jude, don't take us there. Anyways, these are just randomly popping in my super fast ADHD brain. But the reality is I want to play. I want to have fun. I want to move. I want to dance. I don't want to think I got to be on here and I got to be super rigid. And I have to say the perfect thing at the perfect moment, at the perfect time, in the perfect way, because there is no perfection. One person's blessing is another's curse. What's right for one is wrong for another, right? And so embracing this, again, imperfection is so powerful, right? And that's what, when I was more naive and younger and hadn't had all these different things happen and all this information being thrown at me, I just took action. I just jumped out of the plane and built my wings on the way down. But over time, traumas happened, death happened, all these different things happened, right? Something in 2020 happened that threw us all off course, right? And so over time, what I've learned about psychology and the brain and getting brain scans for my ADHD is that ultimately there's things that activate the brain and there's things that deactivate the brain. And I was in so much deactivation. I was in freeze mode. And so being able to get out of that is looking at things through a lens of fun, freedom, and flexibility. So I'm not so rigid. I'm not so hardcore. I'm not so putting so much pressure on myself. So let's go on to, let's go on to number two. Adopt an experimental mindset. So embrace trial and error and be open to trying new approaches. Embracing experiments allows you to detach your identity from success or failure of the projects, reducing the fear of failure. This will help you start projects. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. Think tie, tiny and perfect experiments. You can test an idea, get data, tweak it, and toss it if it doesn't work. Keep the cycle going to keep improving and moving forward. So tiny, imperfect experiments. I know with my mind, this all or nothing thinking sometimes that if I'm going to do something, I got to do it all the way. And last year, one of the things I did do is I did this fun podcast with my dad, my brother, and his good friend. And I wouldn't have done that before because I thought, I'm going to take my time to do this. Oh, we got to have this branding and do this and do that and all this complicated and cameras and all these things. And I would overanalyze and overthink. And then what would I do? Nothing. And I would have missed out on an incredible 3-hour conversation with my dad, my brother, and his good friend that I wouldn't have had because I was overanalyzing, overthinking. This needs to be a business thing. And why waste my time? And it's like, it took away the fun and the freedom of life, having that rigid thinking. And not just an experiment, not just something that I can do once or do twice or do for 30 days, right? And not having my identity stuck in, I've got to do even these videos. I'm experimenting. I've got a list here right now. Sometimes I free flow. I'm doing all sorts of different things, but that variety, it helps my brain. That might not work for you. You've got to find what works for you, but through adopting an experimental mindset and not being so attached or so all or nothing about your thinking, being flexible again can help you start to build the muscle of safety in your body, in your nervous system that has it feel safe to take an action. You can start to trust yourself again because what's happened is maybe you took a lot of actions, you didn't work. Maybe people think you're flighty, you know, they don't trust you because you stop and start and you have all these ideas. That's okay. Who says that's wrong? Sometimes there's things that we're making wrong. It's just because somebody else doesn't like it. I don't personally like screamo music. I don't do that. Try it in the mic. Hopefully you're okay there. You got some headphones on. A little quick to the draw, but you know, that's not my jam. That doesn't mean there's not people who sell millions of albums with that kind of music. Does it make the music bad or wrong just because I don't like it? No, there's nothing on this planet that everyone likes. To when I realized that the more I'm me, the more I win, right? And the less I'm me and more trying to be someone else, something else other than the stuff that I know that I can just do indefinitely, right? When I try to be too rigid and I don't experiment, it's not fun and I'm not free. And then I just, boom, I freeze and I don't take action. All right. So number three. Build habits one step, one day at a time. Keep it simple. Focus on gradual improvement. Starting with small, manageable experiments helps in building confidence and trust in your ability to complete projects. Think T TIA, tiny imperfect actions, right? I always love my acronyms. This approach makes tasks more manageable and less overwhelming, facilitating consistent growth. So everything in here, we could probably, I'll be playing with this. My first delivery of this. But the reality is all of this, you don't have to do all at one time. I've realized that it's been over the last few years that I have been stacking little things. When I look at all this, this didn't all just happen in the last 60 days. It's happened over the last few years. Now, hopefully having this all in your mind, you can move and make progress faster. But at the end of the day, it's not about taking all this on, stacking it all on, being overwhelmed again. It's about doing one little thing at a time, right? So for me right now, I know that it will help my content reach more people. If I improve hooks and headlines and titles and thumbnails and all sorts of little nuanced things. But I knew that up front, the number one thing that I had to do wasn't messing with all that. It was building the muscle of just simply showing up, just having fun. Because there's no reason to improve all these other things if I stop in a week. It's pointless. It's kind of like you want to go to the gym, but you think you have to work out for an hour a day, 5 days a week. Well, that's great. So at the beginning of the year, you do that. And you do it for 3 weeks and then you stop again for a year. Wouldn't it be better if you worked out 5 minutes a day every day for the rest of your life rather than trying to feel like you have to do this big, huge, heavy thing? And then over time, maybe your identity becomes I work out and then you want to work out more, right? Like for me, I've stopped on push-ups, on curls, on my stationary bike. You know, I set really low things. I just do one set of push-ups, then I do a set of curls till it kind of hurts a little bit. And then I might do one more set of push-ups and I'm roughly on my stationary bike for 3 to 5 minutes. That's it. Because if I make it much more than that, my all or nothing thinking at times won't do it at all. And so if I can just take one step one day at a time, what is that thing you can, you know, just quite frankly, you don't need to go to the gym. You just put gym clothes on. Mission accomplished, right? And that might seem so basic, so futile. But the reality is the bigger we make things, the more all or nothing we make things, then the less we do and the less we grow and the less we move and the less progress we make, and we end up on this endless hamster wheel. So I'm just taking it one day, one step at a time, and then building and building and building. And that will compound over time, because doing one step one day at a time will take you a lot further than not taking steps at all, or taking a lot of steps for a short period of time and then not taking steps at all. And I've done a lot of that in my life. They're like, sprint really hard, fall down on the ground. And then like, you know, I did this with a bike. I was riding with my parents on a bike and I went really fast. I was so far ahead of them. And then I fell off the bike and they went on the rest of the bike. And then I laid there on the ground and then they came back and we rode home. And I've had that, like, I can beat you in the short term, but I'm losing in the long term. And I'm now shifting that to just simply going, let's build a marathon mindset, not a sprinter. So Next one. Prioritize you first. Understand that success often requires personal well-being and win-win situations. Understanding that personal well-being is crucial for success, helps you maintain balance and avoid burnout. I have found that I can't help anyone if I can't help myself. So as much as I want to help others and put others at times first, I mean, I'm creating this not just for myself. I'm creating it for you who's listening to this right now. But the reality is, if I want to keep showing up for you, I've got to show up for me first. I have to do this in a fun, flexible, free way that's enjoyable. We see so many YouTubers and so many creators dropping like flies right now at the recording of this video. And it's probably never fully going to stop, because we get again into that all or nothing. We start doing things for other people and not for ourselves. And if there's not alignment there, because see, what I found is the problem is, if you do something that you love that no one else values, you've got a nice hobby and it's sustainable to the degree that you just want to do it for you and you don't care about earning money from it, right? Then you've got stuff that you hate doing, that if you're lucky to make money with that thing, it's not sustainable. It's miserable. You're making what I call misery money. And typically what happens is that most people who start there won't have much success. What happens is people doing things that they initially loved, right? And then other people loved. And so that's the win-win. That's where you can have sustainability and have a business and do really well and make great money, is when you do something you love that matches up with the world. And the world says, I love this too. I value this too. The problem is if you do that and you start to change too much for others and you start to hate what you're doing, but the people still love it, you end up with these, what do they call, golden handcuffs. You end up stuck. You end up frustrated. And you see why a lot of people are quitting, because they keep hiring people. They keep doing all these things because they think they should, not because it's actually what they want. They're not having freedom. And then they grow to hate it. And then it's unsustainable because now it's misery money. And so the best place to stay for sustainability is to be doing something you love, combined with the fact that other people love it. And then from there, not constantly allowing the outside world to dictate. We see some of the biggest people on the planet say, Mr. Beast in his early 20s, but he's doing what he loves the way he loves to do it. And he talks about, if I'm not creating, I'm not happy, I'm depressed. People will judge that. He's working too much. He's this or that. Well, for him, it seems to be pretty sustainable so far, because it doesn't seem like too many people make it past 3 to 5 years of doing something they absolutely hate. You take the Gary Vaynerchuks of the planet. I've been following him off on and off since 2009. He doesn't seem to be slowing down, but he's built for the way he operates, right? But you take Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan's the polar opposite of Mr. Beast in the way that he creates, but by and large, except for a little bit of maybe the microphones and some of the videos and visual overall, everything has stayed the same from the very beginning. And he has said, I do not care what other people think. I don't care how they, you don't see Joe Rogan going online going, how do you like my podcast? Do you think we should do more guests like this or more guests like this? Because he knows if he doesn't have guests he liked, that was even one of the deals with Spotify, is that I have to pick the guests. Because if I'm not interested, it won't be interesting. It's not about who can get me the most views, who can get me the most likes, who can get me the most exposure. It's simply, who am I curious and interested in talking to? And it just so happened that the people he did it with and the way that he did it happened to have him become one of the biggest podcasts on the planet. But not because he prioritized everyone else and everyone else's opinions. There's plenty of people that don't like him. This is not a debate of whether he's good, bad, or indifferent, or whether you like him or don't like him. It's simply, he's one of the biggest podcasts. He's prioritized him first and others second, but he's created something that so many others love. And it's happened to pay him very well. Next on the list, we're at number 5. Adopt an I don't care what others think mentality. Focus on your journey and goals rather than external opinions. See, I'm seeing how some of these kind of tie together now. I might be playing with this. This helps in reducing anxiety and self-talk, allowing you to focus on your goals and creative expression. You can go too slow, people say, go faster. You can go too fast and people will say, go slower. You can share too much and people will say, share less. You can share very little, people will say, share more. Someone will always have their opinion. For sustainability, do what's right for you and have fun. Doesn't mean you never get feedback and some support and help, but how much is that feedback detracting you from the path that you're most likely to sustainably do? Because it doesn't matter if it's better. If you won't work it, it won't work. I've been saying that a lot lately. It doesn't matter if it's better. If you won't work it, it won't work. So when people give you advice, if it happens to align, you're like, oh, the idea I had, okay, that's not as good. That sounds great. I'm glad you gave me that. That doesn't happen for a lot of people. They're really pumped. They tell somebody about their idea and they go, well, I don't know why you do that. Here's what I would do if I were you. And then the advice doesn't align. And they're now deflated. They're now discouraged. And that deflatedness and that discouragedness simply has a person not take any action anymore, because I've had that happen many a time. And so it's not about being selfish. You know, the reality is I think people going around who are doing things that they hate doing that they don't want to do are, disservicing people more than anybody else. You know, people who are behind people's back are complaining about the clients and the work and all these things because they don't really want to do it because they can't figure out how to do something different. Or do something they want. So this one's interesting. We've got establish a morning routine. So look, I think people need to find what works for them again, and your lifestyle and your family, everything else, right? I'm not this like get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, although I get up between 4 and 5 now, which I never thought I'd be one of those people, but I did it by choice, not by force, not by pressure, not because the internet told me I needed to be getting up at that time. You know, some people are great at night. Some people are great midday. People are great at all different times. I just knew that with the way everyone was in my life, that it just ended up working. And I'm so excited to get up. I mean, you know, people be surprised. I mean, I'm recording this. Like I started recording, I don't know what, 6:30, 6:45, something in the morning, right? I've been up since 4:30 this morning, no coffee, no water, no nothing yet. I got up, I got on my stationary bike, did some push-ups, did some curls, thought about this video, and I'm on here rocking and rolling. I'm excited about life. I'm excited about what I'm working on. I'm excited to share this with you. And all these little things combined over time have had that happen where I want to get up. And so start your day with activities to make you feel accomplished. Like the biggest thing that was missing in my coaching business wasn't that I'm a bad coach. It wasn't that I wasn't working with people for the last 5 years, 2 to 3 hours a day. It's that I wasn't creating any additional demand for my services because I wasn't doing any marketing. I wasn't creating any content. I wasn't putting myself out there. Because of all the things in the way I was being constricted in my mind to think about creating was making it so unenjoyable and so not fun, which made me quit. And so in my video business, I did things that I loved, even though other people told me I shouldn't do it. And it actually became my biggest advantage. It became the thing that helped me explode my business and give me tons of exposure, which gave me tons of opportunity and tons of work. And so I've known that right now, like when I do one of these lives in the morning, I'm like, I feel great. Because I'm like, this is something that I know, one, I want to make an impact on all of you who are listening to this, who simply, you'll never show your face. You'll never send me a message. You'll never pay me for coaching. You'll never work with me. I'll never know who you are. But yet it will have made a difference in your life. And I knew that I've been called, it is. I mean, on some level, some people say, well, you gotta do video or whatever. It's like, I'm called to do this. That's all there is. I mean, I don't know if you believe in God, the universe, the source, energy, whatever it is. Like, I've got nudge after nudge after nudge after nudge after nudge that what I'm doing right now, I need to be doing. So I'm just trying to listen, right? I'm just trying to listen. And I love doing it, by the way. But like, for me, the idea is that if we can do things that help us move things forward. And so for me, you know, right now, my wife's not up, my dogs aren't up, nobody else is up, nobody's doing anything, it's quiet, and I can't get a lot done. It's really incredible. You know, I feel very accomplished by like 7:30 in the morning. You know, I've gone on a walk, taken a shower, done some curls, done some pushups, I've done one of these lives, I've done one of these videos, I've learned something. And I've coached a client potentially since I do everything what's called asynchronously. We send voice messages and whatnot. I've listened to some music. Like there's a lot I've gotten done and it just, I feel great. It's a great way to start the day. I feel very accomplished. And so getting a routine that works for you. It might be 20 minutes. It might be 5 minutes. It might be an hour. I know people are neurodivergent. People like me, ADHD. Like there are things that we have to do that work for us that other people just don't have to do. My wife doesn't have to do. But establish some kind of routine for you if you can. It's very grounding. It's very supportive and very helpful. So next on here I have is exercise regularly, engage in self-care. Physical activity can improve mental clarity, mood, and energy levels, all of which are important for creative work. Walking is my number one go-to, right? Here are just a few of the incredible benefits. Improved cardiovascular health, enhanced mood, increased energy levels, boosted immune function, better sleep. Great ideas come when I'm on walks. Listen to music, draw, engage in other activities that relax and inspire you. Taking time for activities that relax and rejuvenate can prevent burnout, enhance creativity. Incorporate learning into your routine. Continuous learning keeps your mind engaged, inspired, and fueling creativity. So for me, walking's everything. Walking was my grandpa's biggest thing he did that I think kept him healthy. And I got to walk with him every day at the mall for, you know, roughly 5 years from 2012, to 2017. And, you know, I do my best because I love walking. You know, the people who, and this goes for everything here. The person who will walk the longest and the furthest is the person who likes to walk. In business, the people who do the best in business are the people who love business. The people who do the worst are the people who have a business because they think it'll give them freedom, fun, and flexibility, but they hate business and they hate marketing. So I used to say, I hate social media. I hate these things. It's like, it's real hard to do something you hate. Hard to get money if you hate it. Me and my wife have a mantra. We love money and money loves us, right? I'm not looking at money as evil. Money flows to us easily and effortlessly. And we just have fun with it. I mean, we still work. We take actions, right? We do things. I'm not about kumbaya in your basement. Last six letters of attraction are action. But yet having this playfulness with everything, right? So creating on social media. Yes, there are curses to it. Yes, there are aspects I don't like. But what I didn't like is that it had made me into a person that was doing things that felt so out of alignment and I didn't enjoy. That's what I hated. I didn't hate the fact that I've met so many incredible people. I've connected with so many incredible people. I have 500 plus screenshots of people saying nice things about videos and content like this. But I kept putting myself in a box and having myself believe I needed to be a certain way. And those things were not aligning with me. And so find what works for you. I'm not the guy who's going to work out for an hour just sweating and just grinding. Like, that's not me. And there's people out there like, hey, you got to work out 45 minutes. You got to get your sweat on. It's like, I get it. That's fine. That's what you love. It's not what I love. Right. And I don't know about all you, but I'm tired. Like, I'm not shoving any of this on you. These are just some thoughts. These are my thoughts. They work for me. Maybe they'll work for you. Maybe you can adopt some, none, or a few. Right. Doesn't matter to me. Like, this is not me telling you what to do, that you have to do. I am tired of the internet screaming at us, telling us what we have to do. Just because it works for someone doesn't mean it works for everyone. Everyone can speak for someone, but someone cannot speak for everyone. And there's a lot of someone's speaking for a lot of everyone's. They got a lot of conviction and a lot of certainty. I got a lot of conviction and certainty here today, but I'm not here to tell you that everything I do and the way that I do it is right for you. You have to experiment. What is that back to? Number two, experiment, right? These are some principles, guiding principles and things to think about, but they're not like a to-do list. They're not an absolute. I don't do all of this every single day. I have something, I don't know where my phone is, here where basically I have kept track for almost over a year. And you can see maybe, yeah, you can see there, right? It says 86.13. And in the last 10 months, it's 81.18. All this list of things that I check off. Did I do it? Did I not do it? Right? Did I go for a walk? Did I not go for a walk? It's there. Sometimes it gets down to like almost 70-30. 30 red, but it doesn't get much lower than that. But as a collective over 10 months, it's still 80-20. I don't know if that's because what I'm looking for. You hear about the 80-20 rule all the time, but by God, that's what it is. Now, if that were flipped, I probably wouldn't be very happy. And in the last few years, personally, I was really happy. But professionally, and what I wanted to do to grow my business and inspire and encourage and coach and do those things, that's where I was frustrated. I knew I love coaching. I know I'm damn good at it. But how to market and promote it in a way that's congruent and aligned with me, that's what I was frustrated with. That's what had me stuck because I've tried a lot of things. I've done a lot of things. And a lot of the things I did were because somebody said, here's what I would do if I were you. And they're not me because they don't wear glasses. And they say, you don't need them. They tell me, you don't need them. And I'm like, okay, well. You're smarter and wiser than me, I guess. It's kind of blurry, but if you say I don't need glasses, I guess I won't wear them. Finally, I realized, you know, this guy needs some glasses. These are custom prescription. They're not readers. So find what works for you. Walking's good on the body. Get out in nature. Move around. Get some sunlight. Listen. You know, read. Whatever you want to do. I love walking. There you go. Number eight, halfway through here. All right, rock and roll. So set clear goals and have a vision. Know what you're working towards and keep your objectives in mind. Again, I like to think in decades, not days. It takes the pressure off and personally has helped to believe that something is possible, which helps you take action. If you can't believe it, you won't do it. Having a clear direction keeps you focused and motivated, making it easier to navigate challenges and stay on track. So for me, even with this content, I'm thinking in decades, not days. I'm thinking, which I think might be in here, but in the collective, not the single, right? So it's not any single action necessarily or single video that is going to make or break my entire career, right? It is all the things collectively I do. So if I do five of these in a row, 5 weeks in a row, like 5 days in a row, 5 weeks in a row, and I skip a day, somebody might be upset, but like, I don't need to beat myself up. I can start back in another day, right? It's just, they say when you stop, it's harder to start again. Well, I don't disagree. I'd say the longer you stop, the harder it is. It's more the self-talk that we give ourselves when we stop, right? It's just like saying having a lot of ideas is somehow in all these different, things that you've explored in life is somehow a bad thing, right? Who says that? Who says that? I look at things in fact versus fiction, right? So facts are true for everyone. Fiction's true for someone, right? So a lot of people are spitting things out like they're facts. This is true. You got too many ideas. You bounce around too much. You don't stick with anything, right? And that's somehow a bad thing. There's a Jeep Wrangler tire cover that says, not all those who wander are lost. Yet some are, right? Some are very lost. But there are people who truly love roaming around the world and not having a lot of belongings. There are people who are lawyers who decided to not be a lawyer anymore. Pretty sure that's part of the story from Jonathan Fields of the Good Life Project. You know, it's caused him so much stress and he just realized this is not the life for me. But it's the life for someone, just not everyone. So for you, take the pressure off. Do you believe you can make $1 million in the next 3 days? Maybe you do. Maybe you think there's a possibility that you win the lottery, but do you have absolute 100% conviction and certainty that you could make $1 million in 3 days? Absolutely. 150,000,000%. Push that out until you can believe it. Maybe it's not a decade. So what would it take if you recalibrated your expectations and your goals? Would you start taking the actions? If you absolutely 100% knew it could happen, but you had to take an action today, another tiny action tomorrow, another tiny action the next day, maybe you skip a couple days, then you go back and take some more action, more action, more action, but you know that you will get there. You absolutely know you will get there. And I know for me that, yeah, the good old quote by somebody, many people seem to say it, that we overestimate what we can do in a year and underestimate what we can do in a decade. A lot can happen in 10 years. And I want to enjoy the journey, the process, not just the destination. Because the problem is if we don't enjoy that and that destination doesn't give us what we thought it would and we hated the ride, we're going to be really disappointed. And you see a lot of people get really depressed and really discouraged in life when they worked really hard doing something they really didn't like, but they pushed through with the story that someday they'll reach a destination that says happiness is going to arrive, that they get there and it's not there. That's not good. And so my thing is that set up a journey that you love. Set up goals and aspirations that you can get behind. Put it in decades, not days, and just start taking tiny actions and just start experimenting, start playing, start having more fun. And that fun, that play, that joy will infect people and they'll want more of it. All right. Next. Number 9, be consistently inconsistent. You can more easily be consistent when you embrace being human, less rigid and more flexible. It's easy, especially with ADHD, to have an all or nothing thinking. So giving myself grace if I skip a day is so freeing. I can just get going again the next day. Embracing flexibility and self-compassion helps maintain momentum even when routines are disrupted. Human, I put human in here, right? Be human. We are all human. We are not robots. We are not robots yet. I mean, I don't know where all the robots are coming, but you know, here, there, everywhere. But the reality is most of the people listening to this, best I know, we're not aliens. We're not something else. Like, we're humans. And so human things are going to happen. Unpredictable things are going to happen, right? All sorts of things are going to happen that are going to throw you off. And I think the more we force, the more we pressure, the more we have all this shame and guilt and that we put on ourselves, it creates more problems than it creates good. And so if you can just be consistently inconsistent, I remember when I was studying like Joe Rogan and Tim Ferriss and some of these podcasts, I was trying to look for upload schedules and time, all these things you see in the courses and the programs being sold, you know, here's how you can make all this money doing this. Here's how you can do this. It's like none of these people that are the biggest podcasters on the planet did any of these things. They were consistently inconsistent. They consistently uploaded for like a decade, right? And just didn't stop. But it didn't mean they uploaded every... Some do. I'm not saying nobody does. But you even see YouTubers quitting right now because they had such rigidity in their schedule. I have to upload every Wednesday at 6 a.m., right? And they feel like they can't break that. I did that back in the day. I had a successful YouTube going. 10,000 subscribers. And I was like, I upload once a week. Not a lot. Once a week. Not a long video. Once a week on Wednesdays. But it became like I was so rigid in the way that I created and the way that I did it that it just wasn't enjoyable. So what I do? I stopped. Tim Ferriss, you know, Joe Rogan, these people, they upload whenever the hell they want. Sometimes Joe Rogan would upload on YouTube 3 times in a day, 3-hour episodes. Then he wouldn't upload for 2 days. Then he'd upload 2 in a day. Then he wouldn't upload for 2 days. Then we upload 4 in a day. Like it was all consistently inconsistent. To give yourself some grace. You can create the rules. Unlike a 4-way stop, red lights on the road that are meant to keep us safe that you probably shouldn't break so that, you know, everybody can be nice and safe. A lot of things in business and creation, the people that you probably look up to, they broke the rules. They didn't follow the rules. They said, I don't like the way things are. I don't like the status quo. I'm going to do something different. And I don't care what anybody thinks. Some of those people did that. And you know what? Nobody valued what they did. So you probably don't know their name. And there was a good chunk of those people who what they valued and what they loved, so did other people. And the internet, I believe, by and large, gives most of us a really good chance that we can find some people who will love what we love too. All right. Number 10, we're getting in the home stretch here, people. We're getting in the home stretch. Practice loving self-talk. Observe and adjust your inner dialogue to maintain positive and productive mindset. Positive self-talk can boost confidence, resilience, essential qualities for overcoming creative blocks and setbacks. So here's the thing. I don't like to lie to myself. So if I feel like I've had people that when I coach them, they keep saying everything's okay. And I'm very empathic. I can really feel when somebody's energy's off, when something's off and somebody's, you know, feeding me this. It's a bunch of, you know, lip service. They're just talking. They're not. It's what they're saying and what they're feeling are different. And I believe it is liberating when you can express yourself, right? When you can release what you actually feel. So if you feel like crap, then ability to express yourself in a non-judgmental shame, like in a safe place that's non-judgmental and not going to shame you or judge you for the fact that you are feeling down about yourself and you're scared. And a lot of the work that I do with my clients is to allow them to express. If you suppress, you depress. So if you express, you can grow, you can heal. And so for me, that's the first step. And then you can start saying things like, I'm moving forward and making progress every day. Every day I'm getting a little bit better at this, right? When I find myself going, you know, in the last, you know, few weeks of doing this, I keep thinking, I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do that. I got to do this. You can't do it that way, Michael. And I go, hold on now, buddy. Hold on, little Michael. Try to give the old Michael some love and go, hey, buddy, it's okay, man. It's okay, brother, man. That's who you were. This is now who you are. And every day you're getting a little bit better. Every day you're building those habits. Every day it works out, right? So you say things that you can get behind and you can believe rather than, one, beating yourself up. You got to catch those things when they happen and start to give yourself some love, some grace, be grateful, you know, have gratitude, and just start to talk to yourself in a different way. But you don't have to tell yourself, I'm a millionaire. I'm a millionaire and I'm happy all the time. I'm not happy right now, but I'm happy all the time. Like, I'm not this, like, let me fake it till you make it. Like, I'm honest, but also loving, right? And want to be compassionate and understanding and just start to shift and practice, you know, believing the new things, believing the new me, if you will. So rock and roll. Let's keep rock and rolling here. Look, we got a couple comments. Who's commenting here? Who's commenting here, huh? God dang. There he is. Ours. What's up, brother, man? Hey. Awesome, buddy. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. All right. We're on number 11. We got 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. We got five left. God dang. Hey, these are going to be broken up too. I'm going to put links to these sections in the document. Again, this document is in the description. So if you want to read through this, if you like to read, I know I have plenty of people that keep telling me, especially my ADHD friends, they don't like to read. I don't really like to read either. So I've sent people out there like, I love it. Some are like, it's too long and it's not that long. But nonetheless, so I'm making this video today and we'll drop links for the individual sections and create like a playlist and stuff. Okay, focus on the collective of all your actions, not a single one. I'm looking at the big picture of what I'm doing, thinking in decades, not days again, right? So there is not just one thing that is going to make or break my success. It will be the collective of all my actions that matter most. For example, it'd be better to work out 10 minutes a day for a lifetime imperfectly than to work out 1 hour a day, 4 days a week for 3 months perfectly and then stop for years or months. It's about recognizing that success is built through a series of small, consistent actions rather than relying on a few big, perfect efforts. It's a more sustainable approach that values progress over perfection and acknowledges the cumulative impact of all actions that one can be taken over time. Some of this I'm seeing now how there is some overlap because it's my first time delivering this. But yeah, I mean, that's the reality, right? That for me, I've done a lot. The MIA for me has been very intense. It's about consistency over intensity. So you can be consistently inconsistent and have intensity from time to time. But if you're just consistently inconsistent, meaning you consistently do the thing, you do it for a few days, you stop for a few days, you do it for a few days, and you keep going and keep going and keep going, it will stack. The collective of it will stack. It's not about doing it the extreme, intense burnout way for 3 months and then stopping. There might be things here and there where that kind of, like to get my grandpa's book published, that took some intense action over the course of 2 days. Okay, great. Not a problem. the intensity that I held with that book for 2 days would not have been able to be sustained for the long haul, right? Would not have been able to be sustained for the long haul. So I am developing, rather than this all or nothing and this very rigid and this very extreme and this very intense action, I'm taking more consistent, imperfect, even the tiny actions, the tiny experiments, right? There's a time and a place for massive, but tiny will get you there, right? Keep going, keep going. All right. Reduce deactivating tasks. So minimize activities that drain your energy or deactivate your brain. For someone with ADHD, it also helps to listen to music on repeat for tasks that you have to do to deactivate. I had a song by Westlife called Bop Bop Baby that when I had to scan in 240 pages into the computer and do all this stuff for it, about 12, 15 hours over the course of 2 days, I listened to that song on repeat and it really helped. And I've been having some of my clients who are finding that to be a helpful thing as well. But anyways, minimizing tasks that drain your energy allow you to allocate more sources to activities that activate. That's where you'll move the needle the most, bring the most value. It's also where you have the most fun and be in the most flow. So for me, if I can pull up here for just a second and share with you my brain scans. So what I found here is that there's things that activate my brain and deactivate my brain. And to some degree, this is happening with everybody. People with ADHD, this will happen a lot more than like a neurotypical. Somebody neurodivergent, a version of this will happen more, but it'll happen differently for everybody. So what I'm saying is what happens for me. Versions of it might happen to you. But again, all this is about experimentation and finding what works. So for me, for example, at times, like when I'm doing something like this, I'm in a flow state. I'm activated. My brain's the one on the left. I'm firing at all cylinders. I feel great. And, you know, I can be tired at the end of the day, but I could want to do this again tomorrow and again tomorrow and again the next day, right? And I don't get distracted. I'm focused ultimately, right? So for example, only because there was a deadline when I scanned in these pages, was I able to do a task that ultimately deactivates my brain. So I had to have the music going and something else. And I had this deadline. But it was a pressure, again, that's unsustainable. And it's activity that deactivates. Like, I'm not looking forward to doing anything like that again. I'm not looking forward to do a version of that, right? I'm grateful for the whole process and what happened and the story that I can tell from it. But, like, when I do things that deactivate, it's like I don't want to do it for, you know, talk about days and decades. It's like I don't want to do it ever again if I don't have to. And so the more you build your life around things that deactivate, you're going to be burnt out. You're going to be tired. You're going to be exhausted. For me, if I spend too many days doing deactivating activities, I get irritable. I get pissy. I'm not as friendly to be around, if you can believe that. But that's the only time. And the irony was, in the last couple of years, even though I was stuck professionally on what to do to grow the business and what I wanted to do to take action there, because I'd done a lot of things, but I was doing it in ways that were, again, inauthentic to me. You know, the reality was I was actually very activated for the most part because I had clients that I was coaching and I was kind of living my life and doing my thing. I wasn't putting my gift out in the world like I am right this second to be experienced, which would then help me have some more clients and whatnot in this nice little cycle. Everybody wins. And I knew I could do more there and I wasn't. And all the activities to do that in business were deactivating. But I had built my life in the day that I was living every day. Even though I was just making less money in my business over those couple of years, I was very activated. I was doing what I love. So one final example of this. If I do, say, writing, my brain will be activated when I sit down to type, right? And I can sit there for 4 hours. I don't look like I'm ADHD. I'm focused. I don't go to the bathroom. I don't eat sometimes. But as soon as I have to go to write, admin, editing, tweak that, adjust it, read that. I'm learning that something like the music and different things can simulate. I'm trying these binaural beats recently. But by and large, without those things, my brain deactivates, an invisible brick wall clicks up, and it's very hard to move forward and make progress. And so I talk about something called the Red Sea: reduce, eliminate, delegate, or collaborate, that which deactivates. And so to the degree that you can recognize where your greatest strengths are, where you get in flow state, where you're activated, and do your best to create a life, a business, a career that allows you to stay in that, then everything else I've said compounds together, integrates together, and I believe you'll have unlimited energy and sustainability. You know, you get a good night's sleep every day, and you get back up and do your thing again. But if you do too much that deactivates, that's when you'll hit some of these walls that I think people are hitting all over the internet right now. And they don't just make a tweak or adjustment. They quit altogether because they're exhausted. And that's what I believe happened to me over the last few years, is I was just purely exhausted. And to get going again is like an empty gas tank and a decharged battery. And I didn't know how to charge it back up. And I didn't know how to put gas in the tank. And so basically, let's get to the, where'd it go? Where's the list? So the next one on the list is have an abundant versus scarcity mindset. So practicing recognizing when I'm coming from a place of scarcity versus abundance, knowing that there is plenty to go around for everyone. Me winning doesn't mean someone else has to lose. So not putting a ton of weight or pressure on any one thing and knowing opportunities are everywhere and that no single thing will just make or break me. If, say, an experiment doesn't work, I can try another one. If someone says no, I can just view it as next opportunity. And so I have found that in my life that it's hard to take action from a place of scarcity, right? If you don't have an abundance of leads and opportunities coming in, when you get one opportunity, you put a lot of weight and a lot of pressure on that opportunity. I'll never forget going to this meeting once with this guy I was trying to partner with. And I sent my coach at the time a message. I said, I'm going to the biggest opportunity of my life. And I put this bigness on it, this weight on it, this like, there'll never be another opportunity like this. And he sent me back something and he was like, you know what? Give him the juice, do what you got to do, but know that there's another one and another one and another one, right? Because there's a lot we can't control. But when we view things through a lens of heavy and hard, and there's only one, we'll not be as powerful and potent as if we know, I don't need you. I'm going to give you all I got. I think this would be a great collaboration or a great partnership or a great whatever. I can really help you out. But if you don't view it that way, that's okay. I'm going to keep moving forward and making progress. First, I put all this weight and all this heaviness on this has to happen. Like when I reached out to Tim Ferriss, Tony Robbins, a number of these people that I worked with, like I honestly didn't reach out to them thinking they're going to change my whole career and my whole life and my whole business. I honestly just wanted to give back to them. Tim Ferriss's book had a massive impact on my life. And I thought if I could meet him, that would be really cool. Maybe I can use my video skills to give a video to him, to help him, give him something back, thank him with my video skills, and I'll get to meet him. That was it. It was very innocent, if you will. And that innocence, I believe that I've had, I call it light thought versus heavy thought. That innocence has led me to having that imperfect action of reaching out to people and just putting it out there and moving on. And that lightness, that innocence to that, that I just want to give, I just want to help, has led to a lot of amazing opportunities that haven't happened when I have this heaviness on it and I spend months, you know, working on something and put a huge weight on that something and saying, if this doesn't happen, there'll never be another opportunity, right? And so the more you can take the tiny experiments, you can start playing, you can have more fun, you can look at the things through a lens of abundance. There's lots of opportunity out there. It's just not all in your lap yet. But the more you play, the more you have fun, the more you experiment, the more you progress, the more you move forward, the more you stack, the better you get, the better you get, the better you get. I don't think I would have had the opportunity. Tim Ferriss had that whole thing happen in 2005 when I first did my work. They might've been like, oh, this isn't very good. But by that time I did it because I kept taking action, kept creating, kept getting better and better and better. Right? That's what I feel like this right now. Maybe I deliver a version of this 2 years from now and it's 50 times better than what I did today. I don't think what I did today is very bad, but at the same time, the more I show up, the more I show up, the better I get, the clearer I get, the more articulate I get. But I'm just willing to do it in public right now. Right? Back to the, I don't care what you think, Mom. Like I'm just sitting here wanting to help, wanting to serve and knowing that it's better to do it right now in public than it is to do it in private, right? It was like videographers back in the day, people who gave a DVD and didn't put their videos online and didn't do same day edits really struggled to get the word out about their business. But I would not only give a DVD, I'd do unlimited DVDs. If they wanted 50, I gave it to them. Most never got more than 10, but I gave them as many as they wanted. I put the videos online so it gets shared by a ton of people. And I did a same day edit where anywhere from 100 to 300, 400, 500 people saw my work. So over the course of a decade, a lot of people were aware that Michael Gavin made these really cool videos, right? And what I didn't do in coaching is I did a lot in private. So there's a small little segment of people who go, Michael Gavin's really great at coaching. He's really changed my life. And there's a whole bunch of people who have no idea what I do, right? And so to the degree that we have this beautiful thing called the internet where we can share and there could be hundreds or thousands of people listen to a video like this that I didn't have to, you know, fly across the country or put a whole bunch of people in a room. I just get to show up right now and in a minute go up and be with my wife and go get some coffee. It's decaf, by the way. And be with my puppies and have a great day and do my thing and help some people and help some clients. And I get the best of both worlds. I get to impact. I get to create. I get to share and get to make a difference. And then simultaneously, I get to have the real world and be with my wife, be with my puppies and have a great day and do my thing. And I don't have to, you know, be gone all the time like I was. So I'm grateful for the internet. I'm grateful for this. So we've just got a couple left. Bada bing, bada boom, baby. All right. Boundaries and self-compassion. If you're enjoying this, leave a comment. God dang, you made it this far. Say hello. Leave a like. I didn't say that, but it seems like you get more likes when you say it. So appreciate it. If you leave a comment, more people will see it. Say hello. You've made it this far. Appreciate you so much. So boundaries and self-compassion. Set healthy boundaries. Did I make sure I did that? Okay. Set healthy boundaries with work and personal life to prevent burnout. Practice self-compassion and be kind to yourself, especially when things don't go as planned. You don't need to work nonstop every day if you know, nonstop every day if you know that it's consistency over intensity. Intensity tends to lead to burnout. So you might get a ton done in a week, but if you stop for 3 weeks because you get sick and burned out, it can be difficult to get going again. It's easier to get going if you skip a day than if you skip a month. Plus, when you push too hard all the time, it can lead to subconscious sabotage because your brain starts to say, don't do that. It's painful. An invisible brick wall will pop up and prevent you from taking action. So we've talked a lot about this already in a lot of ways. I want to reorganize this to see where the overlap is. But basically, that's exactly what happens. You know, it's easier. People don't want to take a break. I got to get all this stuff done. There'll always be a million things to get done, right? I pretty much stop at 5 or 6 o'clock at night for the last like 14 years. If I haven't had a paid job or had to fly somewhere or something like that, I've stopped. I watch TV and eat dinner with my wife and hang out with her and, you know, we run errands and whatever. Like, there's always more to do. At least for me, there'll never be not things to do. There'll always be more and more and more and more to do. So I just stop and I do my best to recharge regularly. But even if I'm doing all my recharging things that lift me up, if I'm doing too many deactivating things, I can still burn out, get tired, and then be exhausted, right? So it's not just physical exertion that makes somebody tired. You know, there's a lot of different things, emotional energy, physical energy. So it's important to recognize that you can take little breaks so you can recharge and keep going. Consistency over intensity. So we got the final one. All right. Regular reflection and review. Schedule time to regularly reflect on your progress, assess what's working and what's not, and adjust your strategies accordingly. This can help you stay aligned with your goals and make necessary changes to improve your approach. If you have done everything above, you will have a lot of data to look at, where you can see more clearly what's working and what isn't, what you love and what you don't. Then you can make adjustments and keep experimenting and having fun, freedom, and fulfillment. So for me, all of this is like, love it, awesome. Consistency over intensity, right? So if you stack all these little things together, you're doing the tiny imperfect actions. You're doing the tiny imperfect experiments. You're taking imperfect action. You're moving forward, making progress. You're not pushing yourself to the limit all the time, right? Consistency over intensity. And you do all these things, you can look, and now I have like 20 some odd lines I've done over the last, month or so, right? So now we have things where I can go, well, why did these videos get more views? Why did these not? Should we try to do more like this? Can we change the thumbnail? Like, what things can we do? But none of that matters if I won't stay and do it for more than a week. And what was happening is all of that, thinking about all that, was preventing me from even starting. That's why I said earlier, just put your gym clothes on. Don't go to the gym. Then get outside the door. Then get in the car. These are each a different day, right? Just keep doing a little something. To train yourself, you can do that something. I'm just putting the clothes on today. Boom, put the clothes on. I'm good. I'm accomplished, right? That's it. And then the next day you go out the door and then you go back inside, right? And these things stack and then you can build that identity. Some people are like, man, just jump all in. It's like, I get it. That works again for somebody. If you're the like, I'm just jumping in, then just jump in. But if you're not, and that ain't working for you, then we've got to find another way. All of this is like, if it's not working for you, then we've got to find another way. And for me, the hard grind, push, shove, force, pressure, you know, jump all the way in, go super intense, all that things. I've done all those behaviors. They are not working for me. They don't work consistently. It just made me burn out and pissed off and irritated and frustrated and, you know, not want to do anything. And it's part psychological, but it's part like physical. My physical body, my nervous system says, stop this shit, right? And it says, don't move, right? So when you start doing these things, they stack. And then you can have data to look at. This works. This didn't. I like this. I didn't like this. People like this. I like this. Let's do more of this. And then you can keep improving and keep moving forward versus it has felt so good. Do this for my grandpa. Do these videos, do these things. It has felt amazing to get out of only talking and only brainstorming and only thinking, right? That's great. There's a time and a place for it. But it is incredible when you start to put the things into action and you start to get real world data, what works and what doesn't, what do you like, what do you not. Action creates clarity. There's things you'll think you'll love, you'll hate. There's things you'll think you'll hate, you'll love. There's things you'll think you'll love, you'll love. Those things you'll think you'll hate, you'll hate. You have to do it to know it. If we don't do it, if we don't take the steps, then we'll never know. Because just because it happened a certain way for a certain person doesn't mean it'll happen that same way for you, good or bad. But if you take it from a little tiny experiment, then you don't have to worry about if it works or it doesn't. And if it, you know, if you liked it, but it didn't quite work well, then try again. Tweak it a little bit. Make an adjustment. Get some data. Get some feedback. And then do it again. And then do it again. You don't have to have your identity wrapped up in, this is now who I am, and I have to commit to this for the next 30 years. And you're like, oh my God, I'm multi-passionate. I like all these things. I'm neurodivergent. Oh, I got so many ideas, and I can't just pick one thing. What happens with, we never pick anything. We don't want to pick the wrong thing, but we never pick anything. And for me, I know that I've tried a lot of things. And then there's things that I've tried that didn't work, but they did work. And so this is not my first time doing a video like this. This is not my first rodeo. But there was times where I created so much rigidity and rules that it made it so unenjoyable and not fun. I felt not free. I felt constricted. And then I was like trying to look for a new way, a different way. It's like, no, I had ways that worked. I just stopped them because somebody else, I allowed, keyword, somebody else to make me believe that what I was doing was wrong and I shouldn't do it that way. And then they may have given me great advice, but because I wasn't willing to do it, just because it's better doesn't mean it'll work. So we have to find what'll work for us. And then we can take some feedback, maybe tweak a little bit, make adjustments, get the data, move forward, make progress. God dang. Finally, bonus one. Hire a coach. Hire me. No, well, you can. I've got lots of free content. My thing right now is I say, yes, I'm biased. This is what I wrote in there. And then we'll just do what I've been doing the whole time. So yes, I'm biased that you may want my help and hire me, but even I hire coaches. I have too many blinds. I too have my blind spots. And so although there is a lot of self-coaching and self-reflection I can do, it can still be really helpful for someone else to see what I can't. Almost all great athletes have coaches. I think of it this way as well. The greatest brain surgeon can't do his own brain surgery. The greatest tattoo artist can't tattoo their back. It doesn't make them not good at what they do. Getting help doesn't make you less. Going at it alone is tough. Having someone who won't judge or shame you, but yet encourage you and support you in your goals, dreams, and aspirations is priceless. And so I had struggled at finding people who really got me and understood me. And I have a few in my life. And I actually added, I still have one. And then I have another, I had two for the better part of this year. I'm like, I got this crazy brain. I got to get it wrangled by a few different people. But boy, does it make all the difference in the world. And again, I'm biased because this is the kind of work that I do, but really I put out as much as humanly possible as I can here on the internet so that it hopefully can provide a perspective shift, a mindset shift. You can see something different. You can make an adjustment. You can do something. When you want to dive deeper and you want that person to bounce things with you to help see your blind spots, then I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to keep experimenting with what kind of content and, you know, what I want to say in these things. I got a million things. I mean, I have, what was it? I think I put all these things I'd put in my Apple Notes into one document. I think it had like over 140,000 words or something. I was just like huge. And I've been firing at all cylinders here for the last few months and you're just finding so much momentum and just having fun and continuing to remind myself, because every day I do one of these, I go, you can't do it the way you're doing it. My brain defaults to, you can't do it that way. And I go, I can. and I will, and I am. That's what I say. And so I'm going to put out as much as I can to support you for free with content like this. And I really hope it does support you and makes a massive difference in your life. I don't coach in a normal way. I don't seem to do anything normal. Most of the things I've done in my life, I do differently. I use an app where we primarily exchange voice messages, and it's, you don't have to worry about scheduled calls. If you're busy, you have a lot going on. You're like, I can't fit in this. I don't know when I fit it in. No worries. You can do it anytime, any day, anywhere. Privacy of your car, of your house, of an office, wherever you are, you can find time to fit this in. And it's great. I've been doing this particular method of coaching in the way that I do it for 5 years. Since the beginning of 2019. And I feel that I'm a better coach, coaching the way that I coach, than coaching on Zoom calls and in person. You know, my soul needs that in person, but at the same time, everybody's got busy schedules, and showing up at a call every Tuesday at 2 p.m., it just is a pain in the ass, quite frankly. All my coaches coach me the same way that I coach. And so if you want a little test drive of what that looks like, I'm telling you right now, I'm not selling a $5,000 or $10,000 coaching program, in case you're curious. In this video, I want to kind of keep it evergreen. So I don't want to say a price and have it be different, but, I can promise you it's not $5,000 or $10,000. It's a very, I think, affordable relative to what I've been willing to spend my whole life, monthly rate at the recording of this. And, yeah, just give it a try, give it a try. There's no long-term commitments ultimately, anything like that. Just send me a message. You can also go to the My Mechanic. You can go to mymechanic.net and check it out. And like I said, give you a little experience, give you a taste of what it's like to work with me. And I assure you, I will get you unstuck. I will get you more clarity, more confidence, more direction, and get you taking action again and feeling amazing. So if you want some relief, if you're curious, if you enjoy what you're seeing here, keep watching, watch more. At the recording of this, there's another, like, well, there's hundreds of videos on my channel, but of recent ones, there's 20 some odd videos. Plan to keep recording them and bringing them out. So if you have any questions, any thoughts, any concerns, anything, do not hesitate to reach out. I do not bite. I'll do my best to help. If I can't help, I'll send you, I'll send you a refer you to somebody, or you can keep viewing this content. I always say, when I hear you, I can help you. In one way or another, I'll figure out what I can do. But anyways, grateful. I appreciate you. Woo! God dang, we made it through. So I appreciate you so much. I hope you found that valuable. Subscribe, like, comment, interact, send me a message, wherever the heck you are. Stream into all sorts of different places. Really grateful. Again, the document is also in the comments in the description below this video, wherever you're watching it. So rock and roll, my friend. Have an incredible day. And I look forward to you telling me a story of how you got unstuck, took action, built a life and a business that you love and you don't need to retire from. See you later.